Okay, we have our review of the first eight, nine daf. We'll do a week at a time here. And we're going to start something new this week, which is not only the regular review, the structural review, but also to do a review of the Piskei Halakha. And at the end of it, I think I'm going to give out to you, I'll print it up when we finish the parak at a time, and we'll give it to you.
A nice summary.
I think it's a nice summary. I'll give you the other summary too, the structural summary, if it's useful. Okay, so starting now at the beginning. The first issue, of course, that we have to think about is the beginning of Zman Kriyat Shema. And that's very complex because of the development of the Minhag to read Kriyat Shema early in the day, at least in their times. Things have changed recently. But up until fairly recently, the minhag was to say the Daven Ma'ariv early in the day, before Tzeit HaKochavim, and then to include Kriyat Shema with your Tefillat Arvit. And then the problem is, when are you Yotze? Remember that Rashi said you Yotze in that case only with Kriyat Shema Sha'al Hamita, and that was a big problem, because Tosfos Taanit, if that's the case, you should have to say all three parashiyot. Why do you only say one parasha? And how come you don't say the Birchot Kriyat Shema on the Kriyat Shema, on before the Kriyat Shema? Of course, that's an issue that we've explored elsewhere. Therefore, Tosfos has his shitas. The Rabbeinu Tam shita is, we're basically somech on Rabbi Yehuda, who holds mi plaga mincha, is the time of Ma'ariv. And if it's the time of Ma'ariv, then it means you could say Kriyat Shema. That's tefillah, Kriyat Shema Shebe Arvit. It's not a din in Laila. The Re says that that's not the reason. He points out because it leads us to some impossible contradictions in our Psak Halacha. But actually, the reason is because even though the Mishnah says Zman Kriyat Shema begins from the time that the Kohanim are Nechnasim, which is Tzeit HaKochavim, we don't paskin that way. We paskin like some of the other shitas in the Gemara. It's not clear what, but we're clearly being somech on those who hold maybe the shita that says you can Mishikidish Hayom, Erev Shabbat, by Shkia time. Shkia you could arm, maybe some of the earlier shitas, but that's got to be what it is that we're somech on. And therefore, you don't have to read more than that one parsha at night. Now, Lamaisa, Halakha Lamaisa, I mean, it's clear in Rashi, it's clear in the Rambam, it's clear in the Rif, it's clear in the Ravid, and many other Rishonim. We paskin like our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mitzvah Tekochavim. That's when it is. And the Rosh says, even though the Minhag is Mibaod Yom, you're going to have to, if you can, find yourself some minyan that does it later, you're going to have to say it afterwards. Halakha Lamaisa is the Mishnah Berurah says that you are not Yotzeh before Tzeit HaKochavim, but since it turns out later on that Birchot Kriyat Shema indeed are not necessarily Kavua Wishma, because they may be a Takona in terms of Torah, a Takona Nitzlegeya Tfila, or just a Takona B'Yama that relates to the idea of Geula and Kriyat Shema. If you read the Birchot Kriyat Shema earlier, as a matter of fact, even if you read them before the Shkia, he paskins, you don't have to say the Birkot Kriyat Shema over again. And that would explain Rashi's point. And it's okay, I know you're not Yotze. And you will say over the Kriyat Shema itself later on. But if you say it over later on, you indeed will need to say over all three parashot. The Yotze, your brachas, but not the three parashot of Kriyat Shema. So it's not enough to say the brief Kriyat Shema Alamita, according to that.
Tzeit HaKochavim,
how long after Shkia? Tzeit HaKochavim, as you know, is a major issue that's not part of our sugya, other than the discussion of the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda Tzeit HaKochavim, whether it's a Nikmas B'Zayotzei, or whether it's an 18-minute or a 21-minute Tzeit HaKochavim. But then you have the Shaila that Tosfos raised at the beginning about the Teher Yuma, the way he argues with Rashi, what the meaning of that is, and he learns that the Rabbeinu Tam has a very long period between the time that the body of the sun disappears and what he calls the actual beginning of Bein HaShemashot, because to him, until the sun falls beneath, the light of the sun goes beneath the horizon, you're still basically broad daylight, as far as he's concerned. In practical terms, I mean, the halacha is defined not by kochavim, because kochavim, what defines Kochavim, you know, Tzeta Kochavim. Supposedly, according to the Gemara, Kochavim Beinoniim. But what are Kochavim Beinoniim? And in what type of cloud situation and so on, you know, it creates all kinds of problems. So all of the poskim have ended up defining Tzeta Kochavim in completely astronomical terms, namely the number of degrees beneath the horizon that the sun has fallen behind the horizon locally. And that varies between 5 to 8.5, depending on whose shita you're following. And clearly, as you go towards the extremes of the Earth, you have problems with that, because it takes much, much longer, because of the, and remember, if the Earth is tilted and it's turning, the angle that the sun is moving is not down, it's diagonal, right? It's only where the sun is directly across that it's moving X number of degrees per minute, or minutes per minute, right, which we call the minutes. Those minutes, however, will vary by the angle of the attack, so to speak, of the sun to the horizon. So if you're talking about being near the poles, obviously it never falls before the behind the horizon certain times of the year. I mean, so what's going to define beneath the horizon in those cases? And the amount of time that it takes to fall beneath the horizon in a place like St. Petersburg or Helsinki and so on is just outrageous. Because according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if we define it by degrees beneath the horizon, they never happens. It never gets that low beneath the horizon for 4 months out of the year, which is, you know, a whole historical mitzvah. The Tsar prohibited Jews from living in St. Petersburg. And all the Gedalia Yisrael said, it's mamish siyata nishmaya. There were so many shilas that people were being over on the different zmanim. When it's Shabbos, when it's coming in, thank God they don't live in St. Petersburg anymore. So what do these crazy Jews do? They go find themselves a place in Helsinki. Okay, but so again, that varies very, very much according to different shitas. You know, Tukhachinsky was very big on the astronomical measurements, and he took his own measurements of what's considered to be, came out to 5.4, I think, something like that. You know, so he's got a lot of kulas. But again, it ranges anywhere between 21 minutes, 27 minutes, according to his sheet, 27 minutes in Yerushalayim, between the Shkia and the Tzeta Kochavim, to the famous 72 minutes, again, depending on where you are, what time of the year, and so on and so forth. That's the assuming that you're directly across the sun, the angle, it's a 90 degree angle, and but the degrees of Yerushalayim, so that would be the shear. As far as when to start saying Kriyat Shema, I said, okay, but the start, doesn't mean you have to read immediately at the start. Some learn that Gemara that says Kidei Shelo Yeyadam Bamin Asadev Omero Chalkima Shankima and so on and so forth means that the Takana is to actually start at that moment. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah brings that Yesh Lezareis to be Karbitchivas Zman. However, the Rosh learns, and the Tur also follows his father in this, that the idea over here is just because of the Gezerah, knowing that you don't have that much time, so you have to finish up before Chatzot, it will turn out that a person will end up not going home. But it's not that you're not allowed. So the Isser is only, according to them, to actually do a Se'udah, or to start a Malach, and so on and so forth, which could bring you, we'll talk about that later, which could bring you to missing Zman Kriya Shema. That is a Chiyuv to read it necessarily. Mamish B'Tfilat HaZman. Now, what is the end of Zman Kriyat Shema? That's our next question. So the Gemara Paskin, Shmuel Paskin, Halakha Karama Gamliel. Now, the problem is, we don't know really what Gamliel holds. Because remember that there were two fundamentally, at least two, perhaps three, because the Rambam seems to have his own shot in there, but there's two fundamentally different ways of understanding Rambam Gamliel. Did Rambam Gamliel say that you can read Ad Aleis HaShachar L'Chatchila? Or was he only arguing on the Chachamim saying, look, I agree that you're supposed to read before Chatzos. The Chachamim said that you're not Yotzi if you read after Chatzos. I say you can read even till the morning. So exactly what the Psak, like Rebbe Gamliel, what that means is not clear, because it depends what Rebbe Gamliel was saying. Furthermore, Even if we're pasuk of Gamliel, there's some who suggest that that means that we pasuk like a Gamliel kineged Reb Eliezer. Meaning what? That the definition of zman shviva is as long as you are sleeping. But it doesn't mean that we're pasuk like Reb Gamliel against the Rabbanan, that there's no takana about chatzos. That's the shaila. There's many different ways of learning. Now, this depends on how we understand the conversation between Reb Gamliel and his sons, remember. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Chachamim who argued Rabbi Gamliel, they said you're not Yotzei Kriyat Shema, which has to do with today's discussion about whether the Chachamim can be Mafkia Achiyev. We talked about that today with the way in which you read, right? Between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. If you read the wrong way, you're not Yotzei, even though Beit Hillel does it. You can be Mafkia Achiyev. So according to him, Rabbi Gamliel, therefore, would agree that l'chatchila you have to read before chatzot, and they're only arguing in whether you're not yotzi or not, b'di'avad. That means that the discussion between Rabbi Gamliel and his children might have been, according to this, do we paskin like you or like the Chachomim? Do we paskin like the Chachomim? So can we read Kriyat Shema? Look, you guys were drunk, you couldn't have read Kriyat Shema, that's an onus. For an honest, it's okay. Even the Rabbanu would be made that it's okay. Because in essence, they agree with me that the Zman of Shchiva means so long as you are asleep. Okay? The Rosh, the Ritva, and many other Rishonim learned that no. The Chachamim were only telling you L'chatchila is asr to read. You don't need to have a case of honest. You're not supposed to be mamtin until after Chatzos. And according to Gamliel, it's what L'chatchila. You want to read 3 o'clock in the morning? Go read 3 o'clock in the morning. No problem at all. And that's how the Rosh paskins, and that's how the Tur paskins. That there's no din of chatzos. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, however, paskin that you have to read before chatzot. B'di'avad, if you didn't read even without an onus, then you can read after chatzos, and that would be halachic Rambam, in other words. The Mishnah Brura says, in practical terms, it's aser to wait until after Chatzos, because that's the Das of Rov of the Poskim. However, since the Rosh, the Tur, Lamaisa hold that there's not even a Din L'Chatchil of Chatzos, so somebody is in a matzav in which, let's say, he's being Isaac in the middle of giving a shir. He's being Isaac in Lima Torah for Rabim, and so on and so forth. He wants to be Seinach on the Das of the Rosh, that there's no chiyav of chatzos, it could be, it could be nekel, and not say kriyat shema, so you finish the shir, and not be mafsi. Because after all, there's a strong body of opinion that we paskin literally, like Reb Shimon Gamliel, in the simplest sense. Okay, then, of course, we had the whole extension, it was a good thing we didn't discuss it earlier, because on daf ches and daf tes, we had the whole extension of the idea according to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And that was the famous mimer of Pamim Shadam Korei Kriyat Shema Shtei Pamim Balayla V'yotzei Zman Kriyat Shema Shabayomi and so on, right? So that clearly extends the time in which you could read it past Halos HaShachar. Because even in the Mishnah, even Rabbi Gamliel was only saying, well, Im Lo Alam Uda Shachar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, well, actually till dates, you know, in a pinch. We said, G'day Rabbi Shimon Lismos Alam. Okay? So in other words, it turns out, and Rabbi Shimon extended it. The Shaila is, what was the meaning of Rabbi Shimon? Kedai Rabbi Shimon lisvachalav b'shat hadchag. I mentioned this to you when we learned it. Does that mean Rabbi Shimon holds that b'shat hadchag you can read? But a guy who amazed it said, you know what? Let me take in all 3 Star Wars at once before I say Kriyat Shema. And then it comes out that it's already after Halos HaShachar, it's before Netzach Hama. He won't be Yotzei, because it's not Shasat Chag, because you already saw it before. Bishlam was your first time. So that's not called the Shasat Chag. So you wouldn't be able to be Yotzei. However, Reb Zrachi Alevi Paskins even bemazed Rebbe Shimon is paskining that you have until admits, basically, after all, it's a chakra, the Shulchan Aruch, paskins like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, but only the Shasat Chag. In other words, Shasat Chag meaning you were an onus, not stam, that it happened. You were an onus, if you're an onus, for a reason that gives you din of an anus, then you're yotze even after alos hashachar. Now, what about kriyat shema l'amita? Because now this is very nogea, the question of when the kriyat shema shabar vit is. So what we do, kriyat shema l'amita, mi kratin, only one parsha. Though the Shulchan Aruch says beferish, if you missed you davened with a minyan that davened early, which means you missed man kriyat shema after tzeta kochavim, then tzorech likrot all three parshiyot. And not only that, you have to have a kavanah v'yotzei kriyat shema. Because normally your kavanah at night is not for the mitzvah kriyat shema, it's for the particular idiot of shmirah min hamazikin and so on, which we have at night. If you didn't read kriyat shema after tzeta kochavim, you should bedavka have kavanah, I want to be yotzei for this purpose. And the Mishnah Berurah says that bechlal, you should always, if you can, you should always say all three parshiyot, because after all, there's a remez there for shmirah as well, because it's ramach evarim. You have the number of words that are connected, all of the parts of your body, so it's good to say all three.
Even if you already said Krishna.
Even if you already said Kriyat Shema, you have to say it.
You should say all three
before. Right, for shmirah. By the way, in shmirah, it's very, this beautiful trap by the Meiri about this whole mazikin business. I mean, other Rishonim also. Mazikin mean things that damage your mind. So what you're in, that's what we see in Hamapio, save me from bad thoughts and so on. That's mazikin. That's the things that will drag a person down are damaging. So we talk about them as if they're monsters and dragons and so on. They're all over the place. They're always waiting to get you. But it's all internal. It's not external. Okay.
It's better
always to say all three because it's better shmirah, even though it's only a din of shmirah and not a din of kiyama mitzvah. But for shmirah too, we know that we have the ramach teves, right? That's what we say, the kel melech ne'eman, the Ashkenazim say. Or the repetition of the last three words.
And what should your das be when you're saying Shema? It's like
just for shmir.
Before tzitzuch chavin, even you're saying her. If it's
It won't hurt because there are those who hold that you will be yotze. So what does it hurt if you can be yotze to be b'chavin? You're not going to be saying the brachas. And another time anyway, there are those who say that someone who's not going to be looked at as about gaivenik and for doing things differently. And he's known before sefers chassidus and he's davening with a minion that is saying he should be mechavin not to be yotzei kriyat shema and not say the brachas together with them. Like he has to say kriyat shema, otherwise it looks like kriyat. But if he doesn't say the brachas, he could be kovea the brachas at kriyat shema bismanoi, that some indeed say. Now, the question is, when it said that thing about the chachamim were metakein that a person shouldn't come into his house and say, oh, I'm going to eat a little bit and so on and so forth. Or we had the other thing, getting up in the morning and saying, well, you know, I need to eat a little bit. Wait, so what about Achila? And Rashi mentioned over there, Limud, in the getting up. I'll get up, I'll learn a bit. Which Tosa says, I understand, what's wrong with learning? I mean, Rashi can't learn before Kriyat Shema. So what's the din as far as that's concerned? So, Enoch Yami, the Shulchan Aruch, there's a separate halacha. It's not the takana to read right away, Bismano, but it's a separate halacha to aser achila within a half an hour, which is some of Tzman Kriyat Shema Shel Arvit. So, in other words, you should not have a kviyut su'udah at that point. Most of it's only a kviyut su'udah eating. You shouldn't be kaveh yourself, because then you'll miss Tzman. And if you started after Tzman, you should stop in the middle. Bedavka, to say Kriyat Shema, we can say Kriyat Shema without the brachas. Then you can finish these, so that then you can go and daven Meir of saying Kriyat Shema with the brachas and so on. The Magen Avraham says that indeed, if you don't have a minyan kavua, then you shouldn't start a seder of limud either, because you can get carried away, forget that you didn't daven Meir, and then just fall asleep basically over your gemara, and you'll end up missing for that too. Rav Meisha has a tshuva in which he says that where you have a minyan that is kavua, that you daven every night at that time, or you specifically appoint an individual to call you, to ask you to daven Meirev, and to say Kriyat Shema, that then you don't have to be cheshish for these. And that's why people, Be'etzem, are not careful about this, because everybody has their minyan kavua, so they're not going to end up missing davening because they sat down and ate. They're looking at their watches. They don't want to get the show on time.
Even a kavua.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what could be that you have an option, you have your 8, your 9, your 2, your 10?
That's not very kavua. That's not kavua. There's something that you know you're going to do at that time. Okay, then we have Stam, the other halacha that we started off, Aoti Shilach Tachre Gavecha. Yeah.
So the eating in the morning?
Oh, that's what I'm about to say. Aoti Shilach Tachre Gavecha, which is Achre Geecha, Achashachal, Mishapazeh. Now he comes and he's under Lo Tochlo Al Adam. That is not a din in Kriyat Shema, that's a din in Tefillah. Mm-hmm. It's not a question of missing. There are two completely different halachas here. The din of Gabi Kriyat Shema is missing the zman of Kriyat Shema. The din of not eating before tefillah is the chutzpah of caring for all of your little needs and polishing your fingernails. And now, oh yeah, I guess I should have mentioned something to God about my needs today. You know, but hey, God, you basically know what it's all about. You know, I just take care of things. You know, so.
And so the list of priorities.
You know, so exactly. You know, so that's a different halakha completely. That's a din in the chashivut of tefillah. So over there, the shita, as I mentioned earlier, of Tosfos, but the Rosh has the shita as well, is that limud is not a pigniya in this. To sit down and to learn beforehand, in a way, is a hachone for tefillah. That certainly is not achre geecha, but you're interested in yourself. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah Berurah says, this iser is certainly also not in terms of tefiut, the way it was. Is if the Shaila was like by Kriyat Shema, the problem was the fear that you'll get carried away. You say, okay, man, all I'm doing is eating a candy bar. I'm not going to get carried away eating a candy bar. But if the din is Acharei Geecha, it's a question of chutzpah and deus, so then even a candy bar be'alma, even to, as a matter of fact, how about a cup of Coke? Is that also a chutzpah to drink before davening? And then, oh, so you're...
Coffee?
Oh. Exactly. So this is the famous Teve Cafe, Mishnah Berurah. When the Mishnah Berurah talks about Teve Cafe in Yiddish.
So, is it called Shachris?
This is Shachris.
One of my issues.
Because there's all, I mean, there's all particular, here you've started your day, so now it's a question of what comes first. Over there you can say, no, I want to end my day with tefillah. It's not priorities. Here's priorities in the day. So by night, your problem would be missing the zman, but not the ge'ut of it. So here, even te'ima would be aser. However, drinking water, no, drinking water is, I mean, that's not a gaiva to drink water. I mean, that's just, it's like going to the bathroom. I mean, you keep yourself hydrated, it's all you're interested in. But how about tea and cafe? Says the Mishnah Berurah, well, tea and cafe, I mean... Look, I mean, you can't live without that. That's just, you know, that's just there to get your mind up. I mean, you need a little caffeine. It's just about the caffeine. The Shaila is sugar. Ah, you got a problem. Because Bishlema, if you're drinking it for the caffeine, okay, we understand. It's part of waking up. There it's not gaiva. Guy's going to sit down and he's going to put sugar in his coffee and maybe have a little cookie on the side. And now he's going to go daven. Now we're back again to the same problem. Well, he says, actually, you know, the ilum is nayeg a little bit, even with sugar. Oh, yeah, that's the famous thing. All of the Europeishism would never put sugar in their tea and coffee because of this Mishnah Berurah. All the sugar is cube sugar. Mm-hmm. You don't put the cube into the drink, you put the cube in your mouth. And you've seen this, of course, right? It's like on the east side and so on. Yeah, that's the way you do it. Mm-hmm. So you put the sugar in your mouth, which makes it clear you're not making a fancy drink. You're just taking away the bitterness by having it go through the sugar filter in your mouth, basically. You know, so I mean, my shver, not long ago, he wouldn't touch sugar, powdered sugar. It's all just cute.
In terms of Shabbos,
exactly.
In terms of Shabbos with Kiddush, like before Shachris, you still do water.
This is another issue. The Kiddush issue is a completely different issue, which comes up a little bit together, because I mean that Mishnah Berurah brings, you know. The Kiddush over here is not, even we're not worried about Kiddush. We're talking about Tefillah. So again, He doesn't like the idea of that means literally to put it into the sugar, into the tea. I don't know. That's already awesome. In your mouth, Mela, that's not so bad. So he says like this, Hayotze midvareno, hey, to put sugar into the tea or to eat a little bit of candy together with it so that you don't drink on an empty stomach. Ein shum tzad lakel b'zeh. No tzad at all to be mekel, and he goes right along to tell you the tzad to be mekel. You're feeling like weak and you can't really face up to your tefillah. So for a refuah, you need a Coke and a candy bar before davening, right? You know. However, he says, our Kohen should certainly at least first say Parsha Shema Yisrael, something to make your system of values more in order.
Okay. Say the refuah.
The refuah, exactly. It's interesting. My father's that son always used to tell me that this is one of the things that changed his life. The day that he discovered, because he had been raised that it's a mitzvah and a kiyuv to eat before you daven, so you should feel strong. That's the kashrusha, so you should feel strong to daven. It's the kabbana that's important. When he came to learn this halacha first as a child, and he discovered all the things that he had been taught were lies, that it changed his life. He never accepted anything until he researched it himself from that day on. It's like, and that was his whole life, was not accepted. Saying, well, you know, forget about what they'll tell you. They'll tell you any kind of nonsense. So this is it. Okay, the next sukkah that we want to discuss was a major element in our learning, was the din tefillah b'tzibur, or the din bizman shatzibur mitpalel, or the halacha beit hakneset, or the mishnah, where the gemara said, ein tefillato shel adam nishmat ela bebeit hakneset. Now the shaila is that with the tzibur, or is it just in a beit hakneset? Is there any point to davening in a beit hakneset if there's no tzibur there? So there's a number of different shitas. The Torah says dafka with the tzibur, and why would that be? So here there's also different elements. The Gemara says ein tefillah so nishmat, which is mashma that the chiyuv in tefillah is to get the most out of your tefillah. That's what tefillah is, and to put yourself in a matzav in which you could be pale with your tefillah, and that's the reason. However, from various tshuvas haga'inim, it's clear that they took into consideration another issue, which is barov am hadrat melech. In other words, it's part of the element of tefillah is to be ma'adar HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mekabel pnei shechina, and to do such a thing, the more people there are, the more chashuv it is. It would be like not having a mishlachat to greet the king, la'avdu, and just come out as an individual. Why don't you get some people together? Why don't you show the chashivas in it? What are you coming to go? Are we friends or something? You couldn't come with a group of people. That's the Miyat Kois. Where is everybody? Shina comes in. Well, understand, I come, nobody's even here. L'mais of the Shulchan Aruch brings both issues. In other words, Yishtadel Adam Litpalel Bebeit HaKneset Im HaTzibur. Then we have the additional thing. If he's unable to come to the Beit HaKneset, he should at least be Mechaven, as we saw in the Gemara, to be Mitpalel Bezman Shatzibur Mitpalel, which is the eight ratzon, to make sure that your tefillah is mikubal, even though you don't have the advantage of rovam. And furthermore, continues the Shulchan Aruch, if somebody can't do that, he's being mitpalel biyachid, afal pi ken yitpalel bebeit hakneset. So that's a completely new halacha. In other words, the makom of rina, even if it's not b'shas rina, the Kiddusha Beit HaKneset per se is special for, even without Rovan, special for the Kabbalah of, even for a Yachid. By the way, let me just, before I forget, the din of being Miskab, Bezman Shatfila Mitpalel, the Tzibur Mitpalel, is not that they happen to be davening, it's that they're starting Shemoneh Esrei at that moment. Because that was the whole thing. Leimele L'Shliach Tzibura, make sure that somebody comes running to tell you when they're starting Shemoneh Esrei. It's not stam that they're there. That the Pri Chodesh speaks out clearly. When we say Bizman Shatzibur Mispal, means when they stand together to begin Shemoneh Esrei. Yes.
I assume it's more beneficial to daven in your home, same time as she receives rest, you then to wait afterwards and come to show
them the things. Right, that's true.
So if you miss, you should still
right. Tell. It's three darkas, in other words. First, the spell beta mesin batzibor. Then to be mispal b'shar shat tzibur mispaleo. And if not, he's being mispal b'yochid up. So you should still at least try to get him to a shul. You only get schar halicha for something that's advantageous. You have to first know that it's advantageous.
If you can't.
Yes, you're right, but I'm saying that you can't create the chiyuv for schar halicha. You have to first know that it's an inyan, no? And this question is to whether we're talking about the Rov Am, or we're talking about the eight Ratzon, makes a big nafkamina. For instance, somebody walks in late today to shul. Everybody else is davening Musaf. He needs to daven Shacharis. Is he being Yotze Tefillah B'Tzibur? They're davening one thing, he's davening another thing. Right?
So
I mean, you're saying two different things. The Magen Avraham says that's not called Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur is you're davening the same thing. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if we have this additional Nekuda of Berov Am, so then you have all been Mekabel the Melech Berov Am, and now you're saying you're a Tefillah. They're saying they're a Tefillah, but you still certainly have that element of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So it's definitely worthwhile going to the Beit HaKnesset at that point. And then we had the Gemara that spoke about Oyev Hashem Sha'arei Tzion, which was Sha'arim HaMetzionim HaLacha, the place where you were learning Mikol Mishkanot Yaakov. So it's better to learn. That was the Machlokas. What did that mean? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it meant that Abayi was saying, well, daven be a chidut. So now, since this was the place where I learned, was at home, in my study, so I could daven in my study at home, which remember, the Girsan Megillah was the opposite. We said, therefore, he moved his study into the Beit Knesset. And that's the opposite approach. The Rambam brings this halacha, but he says, v'hushi palo b'tzibur. So even though you don't have the advantage of the book of Rina Sham Sheikh Tefillah, so what? This is more important. But it's not coming to tell me it's Adif than Tefillah Tzibur itself. The Ramah in general says, Al Yitragel Bekah. There's going to be Semech on that. If you do it all the time, Amear is going to learn from you. You say the Rav Davin's at home. What do I got to go? Can I come to the, I got to go Davin and Shul. I'm sure the Brisker Rav never came to Davin Tzibur. He only would come for Kriya Satera. When he was Kriya Satera, which are the wags, but I don't think it's really wags. I think it's absolutely true. Taina that's because of Reb Chaim Brisker's pshat in Tefillah B'Tzibur. Because he's medayik in the Rambam that the halacha of Tefillah, not Tefillah B'Tzibur, that the halacha of Tefillah is fundamentally Amida b'fnei Ashrina. That's not called kavana. That's definitive of what the act of tefillah is. In other words, even though we could say that maybe kavana is not ma'akev in many elements and so on, but the act has to be the correct act. In tefillah, he's medayik from the Rambam that tefillah does not consist of saying words. Tefillah consists of speaking to God. If you're not speaking in front of the Shechina, you're not davening. Right? So again, the way the wags put it is, so therefore nobody's davening anyway, so what's the point of going for tefillah b'tzibur if there's not even any tefillah? But at least, there's Kriya Satira, so okay, so it's good. I go for Kriya Satira. Alright? I mean, there's something to be said for that. In general, there was the other issue, which I pointed out to you. I don't want to say, la halacha, but because I've never seen anyone bring it, la halacha. But remember that the Gemara brings the entire sugya of Birabim Hayu Imadi as part of the halacha of Pdei B'Shalom Nafshi and compared the Limud HaTorah Gemilut Chasadim to Tefillah B'Tzibur and then went ahead and brought the pasuk of Kol Shreinai HaRaim, somebody who won't be Mitfalel in the shul in his community, right? Now, what that indicates is that tefillah b'tzibur is not tefillah of a person with 10 other people, but rather a shofing. In other words, he feels a sense of chibur to the people that he's davening with. Not, okay, we'll get together 10 people, and I don't care whether we have to see each other again, don't see each other again. That's tefillah b'tzibur, there's 10 people here. That's not so poshut. If it's a din in shalom and amida of shchenut, maybe it's not the same thing as well as just having stam 10 people together. Okay, but anyway, that's the presentation element. It's not brought mahalach on such a thing. Then we have one other, and we're taking up a lot of time, but this is packed solid with various dinim, so we won't usually go this long. But we also had the very important other halacha of tzibur, which is the shnayim mikra v'yachatargum, and that's specifically a din of im hatzibur. Person is supposed to be reading the Torah together with the tzibur, so that every week he finishes the shnayim mikra v'yachatargum. And there, the Shulchan Aruch says, even though you're listening to the whole thing from the Koreh, the Baal Koreh, you cannot include that in your one time. Wait a minute, we'll talk about that. That's not called one time. Besides the time that you hear it in Shul, you still have to have Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, and even Atarot V'Divon. Now remember that Atarot V'Divon is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether that would be true about Ruvein V'Shimon, or is it only Atarot V'Divon because there's also Talmud Targum Yerushalmi on that, so you can still read the Targum Yerushalmi, which is how Tosfos learns it. Or you have to say every word in the third time in the Targum, even though there's no Targum on it. Naturally, la locker, we end up asking both for Chumrah. If there's Targum Yerushalmi, so then the Machmer like Tosfos. And if there's nothing, so then just say it. So just say the three words. You have to say all the words three times. You get okay, there's no Targum on that. Ruben Shimon Levi, you know, I'm not going to cover your mouth. I'm not going to concentrate. I'm not going to say over those things, right? So I have both Chumras for us. When is the time that this starts? Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch says, from Sunday is already considered to be Imat Sibur. The Mishnah Berurah says, okay, I mean, that can't be true.
Sunday is considered to be
Imat Sibur, together with the Tzibur. Because really, the Tzibur already started reading a Mincha of Shabbos. Why would it say Sunday? Must mean Lav Dafka. The truth is that question comes up among the poskim. He simply ignores it. He says, it's got to be that way. Now the Shaila is, could you be Yotzi Bidi Avad? The Mishnah Berurah brings the a psak from Alechem Chamudah. He said, look, in a pinch, you can be yotze what you hear from the shots, at least one time. So that's called one time. And then there's a shaila of, can reading the art scrolls, that included, which the Mishnah Berurah discusses, or does it have to be shnayim mikra v'yachat targum?
For the targum, you can read.
Oh, okay. So that's the shaila. For the targum, can you read the art scroll?
English translations.
Oh, so it's a shaila. Is it Tafka art scroll? Is it any?
Translation.
I'm being a little facetious, but there is a difference because, again, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, to stam read it, in other words, to say, why are you reading Targum? You're reading Targum because you don't speak Hebrew, so you want to read it in the Hebrew, but you're hearing the Aramaic. So you say, okay, so I'll read it in English. That's just as good. So Rashi says no, because one of the owners of the Targum is Smafarish. Targum is not a literal Tirgum. He gives over explanations of words. So therefore, it would need to be a Tirgum, at an art school, would need to be a Tirgum that also gives over Midrashim or Pshat and so on, and isn't just a literal word-for-word Targum. That would, Lamaisa Mishbura says the special Chashivas of Targum Yonatan, anyway, is Kedai to have, depending on what we had before earlier in the Gemara, it was given over also Bishat, Smat, and Tair, and so on. That it's still important. So then there's also the question of Rashi. Can you be Yotze with Rashi? If you do it with the Pirush Rashi, for sure it's good, because he's Mefarish even more than the Targum, so why not? How about the Pesukim that there is no Rashi? So some say, well, Rashi you need to give a Pirush, so you don't need any, right? But then I thought we needed Afilo Akarot V'Divon. Or if we're paskening that Atarot V'Divon means Ruvein V'Shimon, then if you're learning Rashi on those psukim that don't have Rashi, you're still going to have to do the Targum. Oh man, what a mess. So according to that, of course, the best way is do it four times. Shnayim Mikra, Echa Targum, and one time Rashi. As long as you know it. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends in the end. You could do all of them. Now that Shiloh was, by the way, he brings the, in the Maisa Rav, he brings the Hanhaga of the Gra, was every day after davening he sat down and read one Aliyah, so that he could finish up the parasha basically on Shabbos, and then that's all. Thing. And then it's a nice summer. Then the question is, what about at the time of Kriyas HaTorah, which you raised earlier? Can you say over, along with the shots, you'll say over, and that way you'll be yotze at least one time. It's not just listening; you're actually learning. Now the Shalah is furious about people who do that. This is the whole inyan of listening to the shots is listening. But you're supposed to be hearing Kabbalah Satayr. When if you're going to be reading, then basically you're just taking advantage of the time to read. The whole idea is as if you're standing in front of Har Sinai and Moshe Rabbeinu saying it to you. Not that you should be reading it. So he was very, very against that. He was machmir not to read that. And the Gra also said the same thing. At least, I mean, again, it's sometimes you don't know the Gra, but it's brought in the Maisa Rav that he held. You have to be machmir to hear every single word from the Baal Kere. If you're going to be reading yourself, would you do that in the Megillah? Go to hear the Megillah's Esther. The Megillah's Esther, you wouldn't do it. You want to hear the Megillah's Esther. It's the whole thing, the Kriya, the Ravan, there's also an Indian of Kriya. Why should you be reading it? So they very much didn't hold of it. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah opens up the petach to this awful Hanhaga by saying that, well, you know, since the guy's kavan is really to hear it, he just wants to read along with it. Lamaisa, you see the people who do this not only wreck everybody else's Kriya Satayr, because nobody can hear what the shatz is saying, not only make it impossible for the shatz to read, because he gets totally confused by the other guy's mispronunciation, but Lamaisa do not have kavana for Kriya Satayr Mipia Shatz, and focus on making use of the time to get in there Shai Mikra Vekha Targum. Maybe that's my personal opinion. It's a pretty political announcement. Okay, that is the halachic review. Now, if you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. We also do a structural review.
I would like to stay.
No!
I have an appointment.
An appointment?
This time is the chest.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
But what bothers me more than even that is the last three words of the parsha of every kriya, that when the oilam says it with him and you can't hear him saying it.
I can detect a pet peeve here. I love people have pet peeves. It means they care. May Hashem put it into the heart of the tzibur not to do such things.
Aren't you not supposed to do that? Finish up at the bulk, right? Is that Tzafka Megillah and David Nasser?
Yeah, I think I saw it. Tzafka with the Megillah?
No, with Megillah and God's sister, since everyone has to hear if people like
you. So sure you're not supposed to make the noise. Yeah.
And what has an aliyah? Is there any...
Yeah, we'll get to that. There's different halachas. What's going on over here? Concentration. Huh? No, that's a separate question. There's an idea you're supposed to be carried out, but we'll see in the time of Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, so now our first parak, we're ready to go on in Masechet Brachot. We started Me'ematai, and so we start off on Daf Beit with the concept of times that are linked to behaviors, instead of times that are astronomical times. Which brings us, first of all, agav, we have the whole question of how to construct shas, that is, what is a Tana, how do we view a Mishnah, what is it a reference to, is it a direct reference to a pasuk in the Tana, or is it a reference only to a concept that is known, and that's very important to understand the chlal, the structure of Gemara. Meanwhile, because we're talking about non-astronomical times, despite the fact that in the Mishnah, the time of Atcholas, Man Kriyat Shema, is indeed happens to be astronomical, which is Seita Kochavim, but since it's not fundamentally a halacha in Laila, we tie it to the behavior of another halacha, which is Bishasha Kohanim or Metuarim Lechobet Betrumatam, which means Seita Kochavim to tell us that Kapor is in Ma'akev, and we've been Mela, we pop down to the level of understanding the meaning of Uba Shemesh Vetaher, what exactly that means. Then we discuss all of the other behavioral times, such as Mancha Ani Niknas, Vizmancha Niknasim, Merav Shabbat, Vizmancha Kohanim are toivlim to eat instead of actually, or Bizmancha, the Kiddush Hayom Merav Shabbat, which by the way some learn includes even Tosefet Shabbat. We didn't mention that. It's important to take that into consideration as well. It's not mamish the moment of Shkia, it's a little bit as well, or others who hold of Shkia. And that took us a little for a second to discuss what the idea of Ben Ashvashot is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda as well. Now, from this point on, the Gemara goes for quite a while relating the dinim of Kriyat Shema to the overall process of what Kriyat Shema means. Because what is Kriyat Shema? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, so Rashi says Hashem is currently only Elokeinu. And that's a reference to Bechirat Yisrael, the Yitziat Mitzrayim, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. That's a specific relationship to Yisrael. Hashem Echad will ultimately be Memalad Hashem to be one. Which means the Hanhagat Hashem, the relationship of Kriyat Shema to Geula, to Yitziat Mitzrayim, to Biat HaMashiach, to David HaMelech and Malchut, and so on, is fundamental to the opening words, which is why the Masechet at this point turns off into the relationship of Geula and Galut. The first thing we talk about is that the Mishmarot, Atzot HaShmarah Rishana, is a question of crying out over the Beit HaMikdash. That's how it's reflected in Bizman HaSeh. And that becomes Mishmar. There's a Shmirah of memory that keeps things constantly active, even though we seem to be going through 1,000 years and 2,000 years of Galut. Every single, as Eliyahu HaNavi put it, every single day, every single Mishmar, every single time that Kol Yisrael say, Yesh Bein Rabba, it's always a Mishmar. And so the way to remember the stuff, by the way, Gimel is Gimel Mishmarot. So the whole daf basically revolves around Mishmarot. Are there Shalosh Mishmaros Havei Laila, Arba Mishmaros Havei Laila, the Simonim Berakia, the Simonim Ala'ara, when the Simonim are of the Mishmarot at the beginning, the end, the middle, or all three, depending on the case, the Kol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Choy Kariyeh, the Bat Kol, the Tzmina HaMekiyona, the story of Rabbi Umari, the ideas of a Churva, going into a Churva, which relates directly to Shmirah, because Churva requires Shmirah, whether it's Shmirah B'nei HaMazikin, or Mitnei HaKshad, or Mitnei HaSakana, and so on, which has to do already the first opening to the idea of Chatzot, which turns out later to also be fundamental to Geula and to Mitzrayim, which is why it's so important here as well. The first time we get to it is the relationship of the Ashmarot to the Chatzot of David HaMelech. Again, you see the multi-level structures of the Gemara. Because on the surface, we're only trying to bring a raya into Kama Ashmarot Havei Alayla. And in order to do that, we have to see how many Ashmarot are there after Chatzot. But it turns out that Chatzot now triggers the entire next description of the nature of Geula and what happens to Chatzot Laila and Yotzei Mitoch Mitzrayim. Even in 5 pages later, we're still talking about it in terms of Chatzot, Legabe Chipazon, Legabe the time of Achilas HaPesach, the Chumra of Rabbi Gamliel, the Laharka Kadam and Avera, the Smichas Geula Latvila. It's not coincidentally related to Chatzot, even though the trigger to it seems to be completely accidental. Because how else are we going to prove that there's Arba Ashmarot Havei Alayla, correct? And that led us directly into the Seder Hayom of David, because we wanted to know how he figured out when a Chatzot was. And then we went to the Dinim of Milchama, and we have to get permission for to go to war, and so on, which leads to Dav Dalet, and the best way to remember what Dav Dalet is about is Dalet stands for David. There we go. So we talk about the Kinor of David, the Chatzot of David, the Chasidani, the Smichas of Geula, the Tefillah comes here and here once again, which drags us right back to Ashrei, to Hillel of David, and why it is that there's no Nefillah, which is the opposite of Geula, and then the Samach, in which David HaMelech is Semech, those that were Neiflim. So that again is an issue of Geula and David as well, and talks about the Yerushalmi of Kum Betulat Yisrael, which itself is Geula. He says, not a lot of different sugya. It's all one clear-cut sugya, in which the triggers always appear on one level to be just random, But the patterns that they form are very clearly related to the sugya of the Masechta, which leads us directly into Daf Hey, and that is, well, actually I forgot Michoel. Michoel, of course, is central to Gulas Yisrael. That's that strange interlude about Michoel, Gabriel, Malach HaMavet, and so on and so forth. That's, what? Yeah. Okay, that takes us now to Kriyat Shema Lamita, which is all, the entire Daf is dedicated to what was triggered by Kriyat Shema Lamita, Yisuri. Now, obviously, the derech of the world, as the Gemara ends up saying, you want to get to Olam Haba, so then it's Tochachot Musar. Derech Hayim is Tochachot Musar. If you're talking about Kriyat Shema to be Memale the Shem, it's going to hurt. And therefore, the next thing that we talk about is pain. So the entire Daf is dedicated to Yisurin. The way to remember that is that hay is a remez for Olam Hazeh. Remember that it's got a big hole in the bottom because it's so easy to fall out. It's got that little opening on the side, as Rashi says, because you can always crawl back in if you try hard enough. And Olam Hazeh is for the hay, the hi baram, the yud and the hay, the yod is just the hay is Olam Hazeh, and Olam Hazeh is full of the Tochachot Musar. So we go from Kriyat Shema Lamita to Kriyat Shema Yetzer Hara and evil, and the difference between Yisurin for doing bad or Yisurin just for Ava to get you to Olam Haba, the Shalosh Matanot Tovot, the question of Banim, Negaim, and the sense of mortality itself, Haishu for the Boli Ba'afra, the story of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan and the Bechia, and the Shabochu Tarvai. And then we go on from here into the question of the presence of the Shekhinah within this context. So presence. Now presence, we'll see later on also, of course, is Nogea, place. And that's the first thing that we're going to discuss. So the next stuff is all about the Beit HaKnesset. The Beit, by it in the ultimate sense, is the context for a thing. In the literal sense, the place. So the presence of the Shekhinah depends on place. The way to remember this is Vav stands for the Vavim La'amudim. There's always an Amud in the Beit HaKnesset, you can remember. The Vavim on the Amudim, Stavav, talks about Chaz in the Beit HaKnesset. Okay. So we begin talking about the Mazikim, the Makomina Shamte Tfilah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects the concept of his name and place. V'kol makom asher azkir et shemi. So now we know place, in the ultimate sense, is context. So whether it's three people that are being Yoshe B'din, or 10 people that are Isaac in Torah, or even two people in Sefer Zichronot, and one person is being Yoshe B'Isaac Torah, Shekhinah Kenegdo, and so on and so forth. And then we talk about what it is when someone takes himself out of that place, and is called Akore Beit HaKnesset, or to be Nichnas to Beit HaKnesset, to be Yoshe B'Yom Beit HaKnesset. And then, what particular context to be Zoyer in? What's the meaning of the presence of the Shekhinah Mincha, at Ma'ariv, at Shachris? And then go from there into the idea Bichlal of the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, which is Yirat Shamayim, and what the power of Yirat Shamayim, what the world was created for. Then Zion is all about Zion, Zam, anger. And that Zam, that's part of the overall question of the presence and expression of the Shekhinah in the world. And, of course, it's part of the process of the Milui Hashem, that the world as we find it now appears to be very random. That was Bilam Steiner. With that randomness is sourced in the Gemara to the concept of Ritcha Kamikutra Brichu, that there's such a thing as a concept of pure and a simply unattributable anger that doesn't appear out of nowhere, in which God appears to be moody. And that's exactly what we see about the world. It always looks like God is moody. Sometimes things are nice, and sometimes things are miserable, and we can't discern any kind of pattern. That leads directly into Moshe Rabbeinu. Will you tell me what this is all about? Why is Tzadik Varalo, Rosh HaVetovlo, and vice versa? There's no discernible pattern in this. So the way to remember Zion is Za'an, and in general, Hitnahagut. So it starts with Hitnaheg. Bivanecha lifni mishurat adin, the tefillah of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitnaheg with the world. Moshe Rabbeinu asks to understand his hanhaga. So we have the story of the Birchas Hedyot, the Shema Kohen Gadol, Bilam HaRasha, and the Rega, and how long that Rega is, and the Chanoti Asher Achon, Richamti Asher Arachem, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ever be Chozer on Avtacha L'Tova or not. And then the basic hanhaga is the definition of constructs which are called names. And amazingly, how do we learn the din of names? From the word for destruction. Asher sam shamot baretz, which was Yisurin, leads directly into the shemot, which is our learning out from a name what the story will be, which gets us right back into moments. Asha'a mesacheket lo, sha'at ratzon, sha'at za'am. This all flows from the idea of the interrelating times, place, and the mokom hashchina. We went to Rosh Hashanah Sha'am Mesacheket Lo and ended again. Guess what? Once again, we have Mechamed Gog and Magog. We keep coming back to Mechamed Gog and Magog. It's really weird. It's totally unrelated reasons. You know, is there really 18 or 19 or, you know, like, are the first two together? What, and what's the relationship of Mechamed Gog and Magog to Avshalom? Really weird stuff. But again, seeing it in terms of a cosmic vision from the time of Churban and Sha'agah Ka'aryeh to the ultimate milchama for the world makes a lot of sense. Okay, then we go on to another level of place, which is really social place, social context. And that's the way the Gemara now describes the whole din of Tzibur. What is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to its social context as opposed to the context of Anhagas Ha'olam, the times in the Olam, the Zmane Hayom, and so on and so forth. And so the way to remember that is we say Ches stands for Chasadim, for the Gmilut Chasadim, so it's Chasadim v'Tzibur. It's basically Tzibur in the context of interrelatedness. So you could also remember this because Chet is, it is always a remez, say for Brit Milah, that's the main, Shmini, Yom HaShmini. And that's the time we have Asifa, Vatzibur, and so on getting together. That's just mnemonics. Okay, so the main point over here is Tzibur. So we have Shochein Ra. We have Esor Tzom Bizman Shat Tzibur Mispal. We have somebody who doesn't wait around and show for his friends to go and Siluk Hashchina. We have the idea of coming in early and late into the Beit HaKnesset, and that important. The idea of Le'et Mitzvah, which is very much a description of human life. Whether it's in terms of getting married or finding a bathroom or getting buried. But that's the Le'et Mitzvah. It's basically a social context. Tefillah's relationship to the flow of human existence. And then we have the Tzibur in terms of Shnayim Mikra Ve'Echad Targum. And the relationship of the individual Sha'arim HaMetzuyanim Ba'alacha to the Tzibur. And then we talk about Tzibur that are even social, non-Jewish social. Mita Ramit, Shlosha Dvarim, I'm talking about the Madaim, Shlosha Dvarim, I'm talking about the Parsiim. The whole idea of what a Tzibur defines in terms of its class, its Minhagim, and its relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tet, okay, then from there we move on to basically the idea of, we have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's edition at the beginning of the Daf, which we talked about today, the extension of Zman Kriyat Shema into the penumbras Bein Alos HaShachar to Tzeta Kochavim, and the whole concept again of Chatzot. And here it's Chatzot in terms of Geula, Chatzot in terms of the eating of the Korban Pesach, and the Chatzot in terms of what did you mean, what did the Chachomi mean when they said Chatzot. All of that finally we get to over here. So the way to remember Tet, it's usually remiss to good. Now, tovim are mitrachakim bechatzot. So you have the larchik adam and aveira and all of the other elements of chatzot. And this brings us up to the Mishnah, really, about Kriyat Shema Shebishachris, which will be part of our next week's Tazara. So we got to the end of that test here. Good. So if you remember those simonim, then all you got to do is walk down the street and chazer shas. Nothing to it. You don't want to hear about that.
The
Muppets are kind of
the finest.
You know, my grandfather's son used to actually do that. He used to review, he used to take a 6-hour walk every day. And he would review 2 siddurim of Shas every single day. Chazer Shas once every 3 weeks. Every day.
To prepare for the...
No.
No.
That was his bazaar. He would chazer 1 seder in one direction. He had a seder kavod. I thought he was insane. He would walk with Kovnat Slabodka across the bridge, and he would chazer 1 seder in each direction, and over the course of 3 days, would chazer Shas. That was amazing. I mean, he ended up literally knowing the letters on the page where they were. Yeah, I mean, like, they talk about these people, but he could actually follow a pin through the shas, tell you which word it hits on each side of the page. Rashi ibn Nasir. Yeah, amazing.